The time for empty talk is over. Now arrives the hour of action.
It's time for the John DePietro Show on News Talk, WNRI, 1380 AM and 95.1 FM.
He's a special kind of sentinel.
Mr. DePietro, who is in the eye of the storm.
Suddenly, John DePietro became the story.
Radio talk show host, John DePietro.
All right, here we go, folks. Power Hour is here. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. This portion of the program is brought to you by our friends. Stop it and see them at K's, 1013 Cass Avenue, Woonsocket. You can call them at 762-9675, 762-9675. It's K's. Whether it's lunch, dinner, or drink in the lounge, call K's. 762-9675, lunch, dinner, or drink in the lounge at K's. You open up the napkin, and the menu is right there. Well, folks, good afternoon to everybody on Facebook Live. Facebook Live brought to you by EliteWirelessRI.com. EliteWirelessRI.com. Our producer is Kerry. Let's bring him on. It's Political Monday. And join us on the line right now. He is the managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. And it's Justin Katz. Good afternoon, Justin.
Good afternoon, John. Great to be with you again.
Good to be with you. Now, Justin, let's talk about. To me, Friday was an example. It was a... Well, it was, to me, it was an embarrassing day to be a Rhode Islander. It was an embarrassing day with the leadership that we have. You had two states that are side by side. One state ready for prime time. The other state clearly not ready for prime time. There was nothing good about Friday in my eyes because of the way that the entire thing not only fell apart, but the resounding message that was put out there. You have a governor and a speaker from the same party and Senate president, but speaker and governor not on the same page, finger pointing left and right. It was just an absolute disaster compared with a state, Massachusetts, that certainly seemed to have their act together. We'll go back and forth on a little bit, but I want to hear some of your thoughts on the events that took place on Friday.
Well, I think the way it's coming across is definitely unfortunate, and I think people are missing a lot of what are the important points here. For example, sports writer Joe McDonald, he writes for The Athletic, I think it's called, he says that Rhode Island politics screwed things up, and that's kind of the message that's going around locally and even nationally. People are paying attention to this, but the idea that Rhode Island politics messed things up because a baseball team left, I can't help but think of all the years that I've been here. Every election cycle, it seems like, every legislative session, it seems like, I hear from people who say, you know what, that's it, I can't take it anymore, this place is killing my business, it's killing my ability to raise my children here, I'm leaving. And that, to me, is the bigger thing that Rhode Island has been screwing up. And frankly, I posted to on Friday or Saturday that this may be, accidental as it may have been in some ways, this may have been the one thing that Rhode Island politics has gotten right in a long, long time, because we didn't get the crony deals. And everybody's, you know, we're probably going to differ on this, but everybody's looking at Massachusetts and how they have their act together. But they unveiled this $100 million plan that none of the taxpayers who have any say in that money had even heard of until the deal was done. Now, that to me is not the kind of state in which I necessarily want to live. Yeah, China gets things done, maybe, but the people don't have a say. And that's what messed this up, was Rhode Islanders didn't want to hear about it. They didn't want the deal to go through. That's the problem. So that was highlighted here in the way we didn't manage. We still haven't managed to convince people that their government is working for them, because it's not. That's an embarrassment. But the loss of the Paw Sox, because the people actually had some influence in it. I mean, you and I were tracing the Senate Finance Committee's dog and pony show around the state last year, or last legislative session. That didn't produce fruit. And to me, you know, at the end of the day, that's kind of an encouraging sign.
We are not going to agree on this. I don't think it is an encouraging sign. A couple things to talk about. Now, number one, I do agree with you. Part of the problem into this whole equation is that Raimondo, Mattiello, the state insiders, wanted to move away from 38 Studios. Part of that, you know, and you can trace it to, let's face it, you know, you and I know a lot of the players. Mattiello and Murphy are very, very tight. Murphy was far more earlier involved with the 38 Studio mess than anyone ever realized. He was actually the one that initially had contacted and said, hey, I could introduce you to Curt Schilling. I introduce you to the Speaker of the House of Massachusetts, as if Curt Schilling, who, you know, helped win the 2004 World Series, needed Bill Murphy, the Speaker of Rhode Island, to introduce him to the Speaker of the House. I mean, that was laughable on its own. But the fact that Raimondo and Mattiello wanted everyone to ignore what happened with 38 Studios and instead just forget about it, and it doesn't matter what happened, and wouldn't, you know, give proper answers. And we all know there are certain insiders that got away with it. The fact that they never did that continues to be this lack of trust with Rhode Island voters. Now, Justin, you mentioned the fact that they didn't even have to go to their voters. To me, that also shows that Governor Charlie Baker, one of the benefits of having the high approval rating and the highest approval rating of any governor in the state. I was reading the Globe and different articles on Saturday. There was no outrage from taxpayers. There was no outrage of, we're going to get an investigation of this, or da, da, da. Because, let's face it, Baker has over 70% approval rating. Raimondo has half of that. There's far more trust in Massachusetts with their political leaders than there is with the Rhode Island leaders. The Massachusetts leaders, to me, one of the reasons they have more trust is they've been making, very good decisions. They have been good with the public. Baker is a Republican governor in one of the most Democrat states. But it comes down to, Friday was the culmination of Rhode Islanders do not trust Governor Raimondo and Nick Mattiello, and Friday was the culmination of that. That's how I view it.
Well, yeah, I mean, sure, you raise a lot of good points. And when you're in a state that has for a while had the highest rated education system in the country, and where the unemployment is well above what it was before employment is well above what it was before the recession, whereas Rhode Island still hasn't recovered all of its employment, those things do matter. And in contrast, not only 38 Studios, everybody's been focusing on that, but we've also seen, coming up on 4 years of Governor Raimondo giving out money to corporations to come here. Meanwhile, local businesses like Hodges Badge and Portsmouth are leaving because of energy costs, but also taxes and regulations and that sort of thing. So there's definitely, it's not just 38 Studios, it's that Rhode Island hasn't corrected what it did in 38 Studios. And this was kind of an opportunity for the voters to just express their dislike for that whole system, not only 38 Studios, but just the whole attitude. And in that regard, you know, yeah, Massachusetts is better run, but at the end of the day, I kind of like the idea that we can have that influence ultimately, that we've reached the point. It's encouraging because it's reached the point where maybe we'll start to see a correction, because it's actually having an effect on the inside players and the deals that they want to do.
Well, and again, this is something we're not going to agree on, because to me, what was so damaging about this, you know, you mentioned that company in Portsmouth. It's one thing when people hear about such and such a company, Harry's Knife Company in Smithfield or whatever, East Providence, they're packing up and they're moving over the line to Seekonk. Okay, that's one thing. What I find so damaging about this is people know Benny's. And they know that Benny's has closed up shop, right? Regardless of the situation. And by the way, Benny's, you know, they never invested in their stores. You know, no one brings up the fact that, you know, they didn't put any update. Yeah, it looked exactly the way it did back in the 60s because, you know, whatever. They were too cheap, or they never improved on the flooring and everything else. They had an outdated model. Amazon was cleaning their clock. I miss Benny's, you know. But Benny's leaving, and now Harry's Knife Company's Providence going over to Seekonk, that's one thing. But the Pawsox is something very easy to understand. They are leaving. And it's the manner in which they did. And that is Lucchino, you know, saying, he didn't mention Governor Raimondo with the people he thanked. The only person he thanked was Mayor Don Grabian. Now, I've learned they were trying to put pressure on Raimondo. Like, come on, you're the governor. I mean, can't you do anything? And she would not get involved. She would pass the buck and say, you got to deal with Mattiello. Mattiello proved to be impossible for the owners to deal with, because he was always changing the equation. He was played real hardball with them, almost false leverage. I don't believe, Justin, he was like, well, I got to do what the best for the taxpayers for my district. We've seen time and again. Come on. I mean, look at the people he surrounds himself with. Frank Montalbano with the tuition. Carnevale, part of the leadership team. Gallison's in federal prison. Carnevale's on home confinement. Various other members. He doesn't exactly pick the best and the brightest. They found him impossible to deal with. They became frustrated that Raimondo would not make a stand on their behalf. In 3 years, Rhode Island had an opportunity to make a deal, and Worcester basically was able to cobble one together in 3 to 6 months. But what I also took away from that press conference was, we got it done. Charlie Baker said, make it happen, and we got it done. And that's the Massachusetts way. And I think it's very damaging, Justin. You're talking about very high-profile leaders. Terry Murray made his fortune in Rhode Island. Tom Ryan with CBS. Paul Salem of Providence Equity. Lucchino, obviously, you know, widely respected, and they loved and welcomed home Larry and everything else. It's the optics are horrendous of what were we thinking when we were trying to cut a deal with these Rhode Island leaders. It becomes, why are we wasting our time with these people? Forget it. Like, to me, it highlighted the worst of what we always suspected, which is a dysfunctional, not ready for prime time players, so to speak, band of clowns that even they were all also caught off guard. Raimondo was campaigning a Westerly and even said, "Well, I don't think it's done yet. I'm still going to take a final swing." I mean, in the end, they went to the Pawtucket City Hall on Friday, and Grabian wasn't even in his office. I mean, it's just. It was absolutely embarrassing for all of New England to see.
Yeah, well, I can't argue that point. But let's be honest. Our system of government right now is embarrassing, right? And not avoiding an instance in which that is undeniable is not a positive. It's a positive to have people say this is the messed up state we are in. And we just aren't going to let them, you know, all these big players who made it real rich in Rhode Island are involved with this game. I don't know. Maybe it's the Trump era welling up in me, but I'm just too populist on this. But I don't care. You know, the big boys couldn't make their inside deal happen. Oh, horrible. Let's change the system so it works for everybody. And that's kind of my attitude here. And, you know, we'll see. The Paul Sox are here for another 2 years, then they're going to Worcester. We'll see. I mean, there's some signs in this. If you read between the lines of the stories, there was a developer who already had his eye on that area to do some development and get this deal. The taxpayers of Worcester, which isn't Boston, are now, what is it, $100 million in debt for this total project that they've somehow agreed to without any say by the taxpayers. We'll see in a few years, and 5 to 10 years after that, where that's going. I mean, we've gone through a lot of this bad experience in Rhode Island. And a lot of the argument for 38 Studios was we've got to be players. We've got to be in this game. And that's what Raimondo keeps saying with trying to give special deals to mega corporations to get headquarters here, or little crumbs from GE, which, by the way, after a few years, is spinning off those crumbs from its company. I think people are kind of fed up with that whole idea, and I don't think I'm not sure it's going to be that long ahead. So I think we ought to take this as, yeah, it's an embarrassment, but it's a healthy one. It's like when the doctor unwraps the bandage and makes your bandage on your arm and sees it's festering, you can start to fix that. And I think that, to me, that's just where we are. And it's always a positive in my book to acknowledge your problems and start to try to change them. Now, whether we will, that's another story. But I guess that's why I see mostly silver lining here. And from the beginning, I thought this should have gone to the voters on a ballot to say, do you want to go into debt for this? That's the way it should have been done. And the fact that Rhode Island's political scene is not healthy enough to push through a deal that keeps the taxpayers out of the loop. To me, you know, maybe bad government is better when it comes to that.
Well, and again, this, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. We'll speak with Justin Katz, managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. This is going to be a situation where we don't agree to agree because, Justin, see, I don't think we have the time. And I don't see whoever, I don't know, you know, developers can always say they're eyeing something, but you can't, when the word gets out, it's impossible to do business with these people. And the tax burden keeps going up. And it's the climate that is there that persists. This year alone, Pawtucket already is losing their hospital. Now the Paw Sox are bailing out. And I believe Hasbro was even exploring a different headquarters. Not everybody comes back. There's you don't have a lot of opportunities. The other thing is that that idiot that still owns the Apex land, who was demanding $20 million, they still never resolved that. So now, okay, congratulations. You're going to have that empty land. Alors is still the mayor of Providence. There's other options. And the power structure, the way the government is designed, to me, is it is just permanently flawed that Mattiello holds all this power but is essentially unaccountable to the voters because he has his district. You don't have a governor that has the strong approval rating. And I understand this was a high-profile example of a company leaving, but there's, and you know, Raimondo, for all those trips, Justin, these fundraising trips to San Francisco, all over the country, she goes on all these trips. Oh yeah, meeting with businesses, and I'm also fundraising. I don't think, and you and I follow this, I think we're in the 1%. We follow this closer than anyone. I can't name one company that as a result of her going to San Francisco or going to Los Angeles or going to wherever, I can't name one company that as a result of one of those trips that she has then brought back any jobs. It's to me, it's fundraising wrapped in the package of, oh, I'm also going there to talk to companies. But can you, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot, obviously, but can you name one company that Governor Raimondo said, well, I went out there and I met with them, and as a result of that, I mean, we had heard inklings of different times, right, of PayPal and all this other stuff, but to date, I can't name one company that the Raimondo people could say she flew to their office in such and such a city, she met with them that night, there was a fundraiser, but as a result of that trip, this a company, ABC, is moving to Rhode Island. I mean, I'll throw it to you. Can you name just one example?
You know, I can't at that level. You know,
I can't either. And what does that tell us? And you and I follow the 1%. I don't think there are any. I think it's just all fundraising trips disguised as she's going out to try to lure companies there.
Yeah, the one example that even comes close to mind again is GE, where they tried to make a big deal out of Gina Raimondo's Rolodex and the people she could call, but she didn't fly anywhere for that. So that was just a convenient excuse.
They were leaving Connecticut. Yeah. And what also bothered me about that was, in the end, you know, the Raimondo people, they were so quick to try to spin out that the GE executives were just so impressed with the governor. It wasn't about the state. It wasn't about the workforce. It wasn't about opportunity. They're always so quick to then flip it to that, but they were just so wildly impressed by this governor. And then the same thing they did with Amazon, right? They didn't make the cut. And the people in Amazon said, unfortunately, we couldn't do it. It's not going to work out. And then according to Stephan Pryor, but the Amazon executives were just blown away by Governor Raimondo. It's in the end, it's always about her. Her fundraising trips are about her. The press is about her. And even when we lose, it's like the state lost, but Governor Raimondo didn't lose because her, that's who they were really, really impressed with.
Yeah, and she wasn't. They liked her original deal. It was just Rhode Island politics that messed it up. And I think that's what people, as you say, we pay a lot more attention than most people. But hopefully these theatrics are starting to make people kind of question, you know, well, maybe the governor didn't do it because the people are fed up with the governor didn't jump on this because the people are kind of fed up with this whole, she's on ice, thin ice with this whole crony, you know, make special deals for the rich people plan of economics. And so there's a lot of opportunity for us to learn here, and there's a lot that could go wrong for the Paw Sox, Woo Sox, in the next 5 to 10 years that make this look like, you know what, that was the moment that Rhode Island fell, hit bottom and turned around. And maybe we can't look to the great motives of the politicians involved like Mattiello, but you know, our system of government is designed for skeptics, and if we don't want a system where, you know, we make it work giving people a special power. So I'm not too impressed if everybody, I keep reading even in national press that one man stopped this whole thing. Well, if it weren't that, it would have been two men and a woman, pushing it through on taxpayers' back. So that's where I'm coming from on this. And I think, you know, the governor's flashy, you know, always, she's always the one that's doing well. She's always the one on the covers of the glossy magazines across the country. That's wearing thin. And I think that played into this result as well.
And again, the final note on this to me is, and we can agree to disagree on this, but to me, the paw socks from different, talking to people and different things is the Rhode Island political climate, they didn't trust, it's unstable. Ultimately, what I have been told, and they kind of hint at that, is they did not trust Mattiello. And I don't see any positive spin on that in any way. Because, Justin, when it comes to business leaders, I kind of view states as the way, if you, let's just say, you know, you were going to go on vacation somewhere, or you were going somewhere and you were asking me for recommendations on restaurants, and you name a restaurant, and I say, oh, no, believe me, you don't want to go there. Well, it's not an hour-long discussion, but if that's my impression, and you and I have a rapport, and you kind of trust my instincts, you cross that off your list. To me, the after effects of Larry Lucchino, Terry Murray, Tom Ryan, even Paul Salem of Providence Equity Partners, different, it's not lost in New England that they were able to accomplish something that the climate in the Rhode Island business climate just was not able to do. And, you know, you and I have been talking about this for a long time, even the shell game with three different meetings. Massachusetts came across to me as everyone on the same page, everyone on the same team, and everyone working towards a common goal. This was, you have to meet with Mattiello, you have to meet with Raimondo, you have to meet with Dominic Ruggiero. It reminds me of that time Roger Clemens said with the Red Sox, it was 26 guys and 26 cabs. It's like three different meetings and all the different agendas. But when it comes down to it, Mattiello is the wrong person to me to be. And if this costs him the election, which I hope it does, then maybe it will be worth it. But you just wonder how many opportunities can you continue to miss in this way? And also, you know, they never resolved that guy that had the state, you know, the Apex site that they wanted. You know, he was still demanding $20 million. It's valued at $3 million. I don't know. Is he going to get a developer to pay him that kind of money now? I just think it was, I'll give you the final word. I think it was a real black eye in the effort of, to me, I think Mattiello is not truthful when he says, I'm trying to do what's best to protect the taxpayers. I don't think they care about the taxpayers. Their pattern of behavior of who he surrounds himself with is not protecting the taxpayers. This came down to why get in, as Larry Lucchino said, as his late mother used to say, why go where you're not wanted, where there's controversy and problems? Forget it. We're being embraced there. We're going to go there. And obviously they were frustrated with Raimondo, who failed to even mention him in the press conference, in the legislature, when he controls it. It's the way that you lose. It's the way that you lose. It's one thing if you lose a game and you played as hard as you could. It's a completely different situation when you throw a costly interception in the final play of the game. And then, you know, the way the Seahawks lost that game to the Patriots. There's different ways to lose a game. This was a bad way to lose the team. But I want to give you the final word before we move on.
Well, one area I think we disagree is that I see the taxpayers' fingerprints all over this. Our voters' fingerprints, rather. Not in partly in Raimondo's inability to come out strongly for the deal and pushing Mattiello's. I mean, this, he would have a stronger hand in all kinds of ways if he thought there was public backing on this. So I haven't heard huge outcry for the team. I've heard huge outcry against it and nothing on the other side among the people. So I think the whole thing is littered with just Rhode Islanders saying no. And I'm willing to go a little bit and say Rhode Islanders had their say in this. But I think on the rest of it, we're just kind of looking at it at different, from a different framework, through different lenses. I mean, I look at this and you mentioned the bigwigs going around now saying, don't go to Rhode Island. It's not worth your time. Well, you know, I think we've been doing it wrong in trying to attract those folks and make it we're here to help you. I think that's been a bad move in our state for economic development for decades. And so the fact that that's hitting its end, what I want to see is everybody say, you know what, that's not working in Rhode Island. And rather than fix an insider system, let's say, what can we do to make actual Rhode Islanders' lives better here, make people want to come here to start businesses because they have opportunity, not necessarily because they'll be able to get a deal through the three main politicians in the state. So I think we're just looking at it from different frameworks. And, you know, in 5-6 years, I forget where we are with who owes who for our gentlemen's bets over the months.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll have to put this one on there for 5 to 10 years and see whether the PawSox still looks like it was a bad outcome.
Folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Speak with Justin Katz. You know, Justin, I just checked on Twitter, and Ethan Shorey, who's a reporter for the Valley Breeze, he retweeted a picture from this Jacqueline Moorhead, staff writer for the Valley Breeze, and she has seen chasing Governor Raimondo around the Anna McCabe Elementary School this morning, and it's someone in a chicken suit that has hashtag no debate, no vote. Now, Patricia Morgan did it last week at Cranston City Hall with Mayor Fung. And now, and I think it was even Friday, someone in a chicken suit photobombed Channel 12 when they were trying to do a report up there. But now you have someone in a chicken suit chasing the governor around, which is, again, people should understand, this is not new. Many times in politics, someone shows up in a chicken suit in the crowd and different things. What is your... So Patricia Morgan did the thing of going with the chicken suit, Cranston City Hall. I think she made a mistake. The one mistake you don't want to do is stand next to the chicken. I think she made a mistake when she stood next to the chicken. But what do you make of, and then Matt Brown had his people deliver petitions, I think, to the State House. They took a petition of people that she will not debate Matt Brown. Do you see that as getting any traction, or this business of no debate, no vote? I understand, you know, it's tactics within a campaign. But what is your thought on this business of the chicken suit? And then now apparently someone is chasing the governor around in a chicken suit. I don't think it's the same chicken suit from Patricia Morgan.
Yeah, no, it's a different chicken. I think the same chicken was accompanied the petition folks when they brought Matt Brown's petition to the State House.
That makes sense.
So it's become a thing. I don't know. I mean, you know how the phrase jumping the shark came to be?
Yeah.
The Fonz on Happy Days, they had an episode with all this drama of him jet skiing over a shark or something like that, and that was the episode. Jumping the shark is when you know the show's over. they're just reaping in the ad rewards until it's all gone. I think in Rhode Island we're going to have a new version called debating the chicken, because that's kind of what it seems like here. I mean, Patricia Morgan got her name in the Washington Post, which is a good thing, but it's really for one thing, you're not likely to embarrass your opponent into a debate that they don't want to give you because of a chicken suit. It looks like it's almost one of those things you do to taunt somebody in a way that prevents them from doing what you want them to do. And so that's my impression of this. We've entered that phase when really all it is we're done with the contest is pretty much over, and the people who are losing it are kind of admitting that, and now it's just entertainment from here on in. I mean, that's my impression of it, and I've seen some murmurs around social media and such that other people are really a chicken. I mean, which is a shame, because the need for debate in a democracy is a very strong point to make, and there, sure, there's a long history of making those points with versions of mockery and good humor, but the chicken suit thing seems a step too far, especially on the heels of WPRI's recent poll results that showed it's not doesn't look really close on either side.
No, and you know what else I think comes into play, and maybe you can rattle off, but this whole notion of no debate, no vote, I'm just trying to think in my own experience, and maybe it's my experience, but I've never not voted for a candidate because the other person wouldn't debate them. I mean, that, again, I'm trying to think back to different people I've voted for, but I've never, there's different reasons I voted for someone. There's many reasons I vote for someone against someone else, but I've never, quote, wasted a vote on, I was maybe going to vote for this person, but because they wouldn't debate that person, no debate, no vote. I've just never seen an example of that. I've never seen an example. I'm not saying it. I understand the frustration. I love debates. Things do come out. They are worthwhile. But that type of situation, I think your message in getting out there on why people should vote for you gets lost in that. Every time you're pushing that message, the message of why you should be elected is not being heard, and I think that's a danger with the whole thing.
Yeah, certainly. And any calculation you make, as if for example, in a primary, as if the people who are supporting Matt Brown or Patricia Morgan are going to change their minds during a debate. I mean, it's all an opportunity for their candidates to get a broader audience. So the number of people signed on to the no debate, no vote kind of notion is far outweighed by the risk of from political calculation of other people liking the contender better. And for most people, you get to that end. I mean, the real threat, and we're going to find out, I think, this election somewhat, whether the progressives are just good at making a lot of noise or they're actually starting to move votes, because that's what's really the concern for Raimondo in particular, is if you get to the point of a general election and you've alienated, you know, in the Bernie Sanders kind of idea, that we've alienated a big part of your party by not debating, that's the risk. I can only assume that the Raimondo camp has a sense that they're not in that danger right now. Otherwise, they'd be taking the risk and going on the stage. But it's you know, fun politics. It makes for some good stories and some good graphics. And maybe, hopefully, if I can get the debate the chicken thing off the ground, it'll make for a good catchphrase in the future. But, I don't see it making a huge difference politically. You make your – if you're a progressive, are you going to look at Gina Raimondo versus Alan Fung if he wins the Republican primary and say, you know what? I'll let Alan Fung become the governor because that debate thing was just beyond the pale. I tend to doubt it. Maybe with her calling Matt Brown a liar, that's the kind of thing that can push, you know, your intra-party fights to the point of throwing an election. But not debating, I think, because everybody gets why they're not, why the leaders aren't going into debates with the contenders. So,
and like I've said before, it's listen, the fourth quarter and the Patriots are up 28 points or 33 points, and you suddenly just go into a ground game to make sure that you don't throw a costly interception, and you try to limit the turnovers, and you're trying to run the clock and then just get a first down to work on the clock. If the other team, if the fans all start barking like chickens, like you're afraid to throw against us, I've never seen where that's been effective. So I understand the frustration of the opponents, but I come back to the biggest way to, or most effective way to get a debate is to continue to raise your profile, motivate people to your message, your numbers will increase, and then your opponent may feel more pressure or afraid that if they don't debate you, that, you know, that you could be overcome. So I think if anyone, and I've seen people do this, if they ever bank the strategy on, when it comes to the debates, I'm going to wipe the floor with them, blah, blah, blah. You know, as other people have said, much wiser than me, it's very rare that someone wins a debate. They could lose a debate, but it's very rare that anyone wins it. And also, of all the theatrics that went on in the Republican primary between low energy Jeb Bush, and then it was, you know, Ted Cruz going against Trump and Marco Rubio and Kasich and everything else. Unfortunately for many of the contenders, once the primary is over, Justin, that stuff is forgotten, and people then just, you know, move on to the general election. So for all of this talk, and in this case today, it's Matt Brown with having a chicken following Raimondo around. When it comes to September 13th, if she's victorious, all of that stuff almost becomes like last season with a team. And now the new season begins, and that's the general election.
Right. Well, it's a new competition. And it wouldn't be surprising if the chickens start chasing the people of the other party on Raimondo or Fung's behalf. I mean, the whole thing resets, and everybody's looking at a new set of rules, a new this person versus that person. And, yeah, it changes the game.
I also, one last thing, you know, on Friday, Governor Raimondo was in Woonsocket. She was at Senior Citizens Homes with Congressman Patrick Kennedy, Senator Sheldon Whitehouse. And that should not be lost on people, that normally that is something that would be reserved for sometime in October, what have you. But as someone within the Democrat Party pointed out to me, that's how concerned Raimondo is, that Matt Brown is in fact gaining ground, because they were visiting there to solidify her in the Democrat primary. This was not her visiting with Patrick Kennedy against whoever may win the Republican primary. This was her visiting to make sure she doesn't lose to Matt Brown. That shows, I am hearing that race is tightening and it's much closer than some people realize.
Well, that could be. I mean, we are coming up on an election, and we learned in 2016 that people don't, the people who are supposed to know these things and be able to handicap them maybe are missing some of what's in the water in the country. But we may find out how strong the hand of the progressives is. I mean, there's a lot of dynamics. There are a lot of dynamics going on, and there is some battle. I mean, we've seen, for example, Mattiello's PAC giving to Michael Earnhardt as a representative, running for representative against Moira Walsh, the progressive. There is some battles are actually being fought. And meanwhile, the landscape is changing. And in that regard, I want to just take a sec to plug tomorrow, the Rhode Island Center for Freedom and Prosperity is going to be announcing a major initiative about educating union members about their new rights.
That's right.
Under the Janus decision. And those things can start to change political dynamics and how people think. And I think a lot of this, it's an interesting time to be following politics in Rhode Island, because on the one hand, you've got us, as we were discussing before, kind of hitting the bottom of the barrel in our system, not being able to function in ways that the governments have been able to function, you know, attracting or keeping sports teams, that kind of thing. On one hand, on the other hand, you've got Trump at the national level mixing things up, and the Supreme Court, with that balance changing a little bit, you're getting things like the Janus decision that could allow, you know, government employees to stop paying into this union machine and to exercise their own rights as workers. And so you put all these things together, and it's a very interesting time. And I think a lot of the confusion and a lot of the reason you see people in chicken suits might be that people aren't quite sure how to game this system.
You're exactly right. Folks, he is the managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. It's Justin Cass. Justin, excellent as always, and we'll talk to you again.
Thanks, John. Always a lot of fun.
All right, folks, there it is. Justin Katz right here on Political Monday. Political Monday brought to you by Mega Disposal. Call them today. Local family-owned and operated trash recycling collection company. They've been serving Rhode Island and Massachusetts for almost two decades. Call Mega Disposal today. MEGA, 866-420-MEGA. 866-420-6342. Remember, if you own a small business, call Mega for all your trash and recycling collection services. They have various sizes for estate cleanouts, major construction jobs, entire households, even a swing door to provide easy loading of materials. Mega has smaller containers for local businesses or shops that can be emptied on a weekly, every other week, or monthly basis. If you own a small business, call Mega for all your trash and recycling collection services. 866-420-MEGA. 866-420-6342. You know, you see their trucks and staff collecting household trash, recycling items, curbside, many local communities. Call Mega Disposal today. And also, let's get a dumpster in the driveway. Maybe you have some junk in your garage or your basement and you want to clean it out. Call Mega Disposal. Let's get a dumpster in the driveway. 866-420-MEGA. 866-420-6342. Mega Disposal. They'll work out the delivery and then they'll remove it. Mega has smaller containers for local businesses or shops, emptied on a weekly, every other week, or monthly basis. If you own a small business, call Mega Disposal today. 866-420-MEGA, 866-420-6342. It's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. Phone lines are open, 766-1380, 766-1380. So that's different. So now there's someone in a chicken suit following Governor Raimondo around. And I still don't think that is going to be enough to get her to debate. I think the strongest way to do it is you go out with your message, continue to make your message, build up your following, and then... But I understand the challengers feel, hey, if I could get them to debate, that's going to be my chance, my shining moment. But it just... They don't want to then lose by not debating, so that could be the best way. But who knows? 766-1380, a lot more ahead on this Monday.
Self-proclaimed environmentalist Sheldon Whitehouse all of a sudden supports putting a massive fossil fuel power plant right in Burrillville. Maybe the $106,000 he received from the companies and the lobbyists behind the power plant helped him make up his mind. Seems like Sheldon Whitehouse went to the highest bidder.
I'm Bob Flanders. Rhode Island deserves a better U.S. Senator, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Flanders for U.S. Senate.
Folks, 766-1380, 766-1380 is our phone number. Let's go to the phones. Good afternoon. You're next on the John DePietro Show. Hello.
Hey, good afternoon, John. It's Dave.
Hey there, Dave. Go right ahead.
Hey, you know what? One other point on this, after we spoke on Friday, after everything was going on, how pathetic was it of Raimondo when she's down in Westerly and she's like Baghdad Bob with the, you know, well, I haven't heard from the owners yet and I'm not sure. And, you know, you've got the press conference, you know, being set up and the microphones and the cameras, and she's sitting out there like she doesn't know where she, you know, to find the ladies' room or something.
Well, that was pathetic. I mean, you're being kind with Baghdad Bob. I think it's more like out-of-the-loop Lori. I mean, she was clearly, she even said, well, you know, I want another turn at bat. I'm going to get out swinging. But from in what I understand, notice in their statements, they praised Governor Charlie Baker. They praised Lieutenant Governor. The only Rhode Island politician they mentioned was the mayor of Pawtucket. What I have heard is that the Paw Sox owners, who had donated to Governor Raimondo, were expecting her, like, aren't you going to step up and be a leader here? And she would just pass the buck, like, oh, no, you got to deal with Mattiello. It's like, well, you know, what are you here for then? I mean, what are you kidding me? So that was, Friday was an embarrassing day. I mean, I don't know, Dave. It was, there's few days that I have really felt, like, embarrassed to be a resident of the state. But Friday was one of those days, because that press conference in Worcester, they had it all together. That lieutenant governor is very competent. Governor Baker said, let's get it done. We got it done. That's the Massachusetts way. Rhode Island, I just don't remember the last time we looked as bad as that. Maybe you'd have to go back to the blizzard of 78 when Providence was basically closed and Cianci was like snowed in on his Blackstone Boulevard. I mean, it was absolutely, I don't remember the last time. It was just pathetic. It was embarrassing. It showed that in an emergency, there was no one in charge or willing to step up and take charge.
Well, and John, think about it. They had the naming rights to the stadium sold, right, for Polar Park.
That's right.
They had everything lined up. You know, our state, we couldn't even figure out if the land was still going to be.
That's right. Excellent point.
Think about how far down they were. Nobody knew all of the details, how much money was in the proposal, you know, the housing component of it, the hotels. And they said the business community was all, behind them up there. You know, it's not even close. We are so far out of the loop in terms of trying to attract anything. From a post-mortem perspective, if they were to do everything that they could have done wrong, they did wrong.
Yeah. And Dave, I mean, I'm glad you said that. And I want to speak very candidly. I mean, Friday, for anyone that really wanted to pay attention or listened to or watched that press conference held in Worcester, that was like Rhode Island absolutely leaders, Dave. I mean, that was like one of the worst ass whoopings I've heard in a while. I mean, it was so embarrassing. You're exactly right. Polar Park, they already got that done. These clowns, that Stephen Pryor, they could not even get that idiot that owns the Apex land to agree to sell it to them at a reasonable rate. That moron is still sitting out there demanding $20 million. I mean, now what's it worth? And then for them to say, well, oh no, we still have the train development. The train?
Yeah.
Yeah, the train to where? The train to nowhere? The last train out of town? Yeah, there's a lot of empty train tracks in the old West, the ghost towns. I mean, that was disgraceful.
Yeah, the trains where it's like the Roach Motel, you know, they all check out, they don't check in because nobody wants to, you know, all of the trains are heading to Boston or heading to Hartford. They're trying to get the heck out.
Yeah, indeed. But, if Lucchino is saying this stuff, I can't highlight this enough. If he's saying this stuff publicly, can you only imagine behind the scenes how they're describing what it was like trying to deal with Mattiello and Raimondo?
I mean, again, Trump, because, again, Lucchino, he's a big glip. I mean, he was Hillary. He was Obama. He hated Curt Schilling. I mean, he was, when the Red Sox, in the 2004 election, he was all up in arms because Schilling was backing Bush. I mean, if you can't get a deal done with that guy, you know.
They tried for 3 years. They tried for three years, and then they couldn't. But it also shows, you're right, Raimondo was part delusional. Part she would just say, talk to the speaker, throw her hands up in the air, was afraid to name him at the press conference. I'm glad some other people weren't afraid. Mattiello, Dave, clearly was sitting back thinking, like, I have all the leverage here, and completely had it backwards. And these are professional business people that said Worcester was basically able to put something together in 3 months that Rhode Island could not do in 3 years.
Yeah, and how much, John, in terms of how much money has she spent this summer on these TV ads?
$1.5 million.
Down the toilet. I mean, that Friday just basically killed that $2 million or whatever she spent in terms of her advertising, because her profile now is down the toilet in terms of, you know, being a leader.
Well, not only that, forget about trying to lure businesses, Dave. They can't even keep businesses here.
Yeah.
And this was, you know what was so embarrassing was to me, was this was what you and I and a number of other people we know and suspect was on full display publicly for everyone to see Friday with that press conference. It's almost like a dysfunctional family that people suspect, and then finally at the family wedding, right, they have like a huge blowout, and they, like, there it was on display all over New England, that this corrupt, incompetent, not ready for primetime players group were finally exposed for the incompetent idiots that they are. And it was literally painful to listen to and watch. It was.
Yeah, and it's kind of, the Saturday Night Live used to do a skit about Tiger Woods and his father, and they talk about the father saying, oh, that was the best day of my life, and Tiger Woods saying, that was the worst day of my life, on the same, you know, the first day they went to the driving range together.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's great. But one more question. The guy who owns the Pawtucket Land, wasn't that, when the DMV was there, didn't the person who owns the Chinese restaurant in Pawtucket, was another big Democrat? Because there had to be a lot of insider shenanigans.
Oh, my God.
Because Pawtucket is so corrupt, right?
Well, think, so, who was in charge? I'm glad you just brought, I mean, the person that was in charge of property for the state was retired mayor of Lincoln, Lynch, the Lynch's father. And yep. They finally figured out that at that time, they could have bought that Apex building. They could have bought it for $1 million, and the state
right.
was leasing it at $980,000 per year.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that for a minute. I guess we could rent it for $980,000 a year, or we could buy it for $1 million. I mean, total shakedown, and it was the guy involved that's tight with them. They would kind of use him, I'd heard, as like a straw man.
Right.
He owns, is it the China Inn? Is that it?
Yeah.
But because you know where else that really comes into play, and I don't want to get too off the track, but was at that time, there were also, and that happens today, but there was, at the time, there was this huge push where minorities would get contracts. And a certain percentage of every project had to be set aside for a minority to get a project. And there were a number of different people that basically found various minority partners. They were silent partners. They were the front people. They were silent partners, but they got all these incredible deals because they had the minority, almost like a straw man, as the front person on that.
You know, John, that's a great point, you know, because if you begin to really look at how that system is abused in the state again.
Unbelievable. People have no idea.
I've been involved in trying to get printing done for a nonprofit, right? And you can bring it to whatever, Staples for $10, but they're like, well, no, you really, for this project, you need to use, you know, a minority, and then you go there for $250.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a scam. The whole state is a big scam.
Or, you know, I knew of an ex-politician that he had this person of color that he incorporated a business with, and da-da-da, and basically, the person of color, who was a man, was a nice man, he was basically just paid to sit home and collect the checks, and they used him as, like, he's the owner of the business, but all they did was completely capitalize on getting all these minority contracts instead of operating, you know, they ran their company. They did it in, like, a shell-type fashion. But, Dave, make no mistake about it. This is, and as I was trying to say earlier, it's one thing if you lose, but to lose in this manner is absolutely embarrassing and disgraceful. I mean, it really was. And as people go along, you know, they do still have to be here for the next 2 years, but it's not going to be lost on... Now, think of this. These are the Red Sox owners that plugged in with a lot of people. This is Governor Baker plugged in with a lot of people. This is Terry Murray, Tom Ryan. I mean, a lot of people are going to be talking about what it was like trying to do a deal with the Speaker of the House of the State of Rhode Island. And basically, what the Paw Sox announced on Friday was they raised the white flag and said, we surrender. We give up. It's impossible. You can't deal with these people. They're outrageous.
Well, Terry Murray's legacy, if you really boil it down, John, is we've got a vacant Superman building and no Paw Sox.
That's right. But remember, it was Governor Raimondo on that debate stage with Mayor Angel Tavares and also with Clay Pelt that said, look at Providence, economic malaise, no cranes in the sky, empty Superman building. She was, that was her big line at the debates. And here it is 4 years later, an empty Superman building, no cranes in the sky, and economic malaise in Providence. So, Dave, the only good outcome of this is I think it's going to cost both of them come November, Mattiello and Raimondo. I think they're both out of here
now. I think they're toast. Yeah, they're both toast.
They're both toast. So, Dave, thank you for the call. Folks, 766-1380. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Remember, you can follow me on both Facebook and Twitter at John DePietro Show. And then remember, you can always listen to the podcast. Go to WNRI.com, and then you'll see it posted, John DePietro Show with that. But without question, Friday, that was a brutal day on Friday, listening to how one state operates and the other state doesn't operate. And Speaker Mattiello doesn't even have the backbone to hold a press conference and deal with it. He just released a statement and said, oh, I can't believe they're doing this. They're so disloyal. I mean, it's a joke. But as I've been saying, folks, he is a complete corrupt cavone. He should be knocked off. He should not be the Speaker of the House. And hopefully this latest mistake will cost him that.
He's John DePietro. He's really in the know. With his talk show on your radio, he's John DePietro. Tune in your radio. Go get him, Johnny D.
Thank you very much, Joey D. Hey, folks, just again a reminder, coming up, the Republican debate in studio. That will be a week from Friday, August 31st. We'll have it right here. Cranston Mayor Alan Fung, Representative Patricia Morgan, and Giovanni Ferosi right here on the John DePietro Show. Listen, that's going to do it for this Monday. Stay tuned. John Dion is next. I'm back tomorrow at 11 right here, AM 1380, 99.9 FM. And it's the John DePietro Show on WNRI.
WNRI, Woonsocket.